In the name of God, most gracious, most compassionate. Today, we are halfway through Ramadan. Coming up in the last 10 days of Ramadan is Laylatul Qadr. This special night is actually the climax of Ramadan. All over the world, Muslims gather in mosques and centers to observe Laylatul Qadr. At these gatherings, there will be special programs dedicated to foster an extra spiritual environment. In accordance with the Islamic tradition, Muslims observe this night with prayer, devotional readings of the Holy Quran, special supplications or dua, such as Dua-i Jawshan Kabir, and also contemplation. I would like to dedicate my sermon today to Laylatul Qadr, and it was actually Brother Farid who suggested this topic to me. What does Laylatul Qadr mean? What is the philosophy and the history behind Laylatul Qadr? What exactly happened originally in Laylatul Qadr? These are some of the questions that, inshallah, I will address in my sermon today. Let me make a disclaimer at the outset. As most of you know, I have a mystical appreciation of Islam, a mystical orientation to Islam. So the insights that I will share with you today about Laylatul Qadr comes from Islam's rich mystical tradition, which probably you don't hear about in a typical mosque. So let's start by asking this question. What does Laylatul Qadr mean? I will start from with the very basic stuff, and in short order, things will get a little more sophisticated. Layla means night. It is not entirely clear, though, what Qadr means. In Arabic language, Qadr has multiple meanings, which can be translated into English as glory, decree, destiny, value, and also power. I personally think that power captures the essence of Qadr better than any of the other words, as it will become, inshallah, clear to you as I proceed through the lecture, that why I just picked power to mean Qadr. Now, if we pick power to mean Qadr, then Laylatul Qadr would mean the night of power. So throughout the sermon, whenever I say Laylatul Qadr, in English it means the night of power. Now, the question is this. Which of the 30 nights in the month of Ramadan is that special night of power, or Laylatul Qadr? Well, like many other things in the Muslim world, there is not a consensus which night in Ramadan Laylatul Qadr falls onto. Primarily because the Holy Quran and the tradition of the Prophet are silent on this question. Most Sunni scholars believe that Laylatul Qadr falls on the 27th night of Ramadan. Shi'i scholars believe that it falls either on the 19th, 21st, or 23rd night of Ramadan. Even though there is not a consensus on the exact night, there is consensus on the fact that Laylatul Qadr falls within the last 10 days of Ramadan. And this is super important, that Laylatul Qadr falls in the latter part of Ramadan. Now, the idea of Laylatul Qadr is rooted in the Holy Quran. It's not something that was invented later on, or it's something that was based in the tradition of the Prophet. The inspiration for celebrating this night comes from the Holy Quran. In fact, chapter 97 in the Quran is titled Qadr. It's a very short chapter. There are only 5 verses in it, But this short chapter is loaded with significant insight. So let's take a listen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Behold, we revealed it on the night of power. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَادْرِ. What will make you understand the night of power? لَيْلَةُ الْقَادْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of power is better than 1,000 months. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. The angels and the spirit descend then with the permission of their Lord. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. And peace it is until the breaking of the dawn. Absolutely fascinating chapter in the Holy Quran. I really, truly love this chapter in the Quran because it is so insightful. And, by the way, consequential, especially for the Islamic mystic tradition. Well, this chapter provides us a glimpse at what Laylatul Qadr is all about. First, the chapter informs us that the first verses of the Holy Quran were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad on this holy night. Second, this night is better or higher in rank than 1,000 months. Well, just take out your calculator and see how many years would make into 1,000 months. I did it, by the way. 83 years. 83 years. So Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, is a night worth more than a lifetime. Worth more than a lifetime. Can you imagine that? And number three, the angels and spirit descend from on high. Now, what is interesting, for those of you who are familiar with the Arabic language, the verb in this verse, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ, تَنَزَّلُ, in this verse, is not past tense. It does not refer to an event which happened in the past and is now all over. The tense in Farsi and Arabic is muzare, or in English, imperfect tense. Imperfect tense refers to an ongoing and recurrent action. And this is super important. So it refers to something, an event that is ongoing. It is recurrent, which means until the very last day of this world. In Laylatul Qadr, the angels and the spirit descend from on high. Now the question is, the angels and the spirit descend unto whom? Whom would receive the angels and the spirit in Laylatul Qadr? Inshallah, I will explain this later. And the last thing that this short chapter mentioned is that Laylatul Qadr, or this night, is all about peace. This night is all about peace. Overwhelming peace and serenity will settle in the soul of the person who experiences Laylatul Qadr. And this is very informative and important as well. So this is essentially the Suratul Qadr in the Holy Quran. Now the question is this: how and where did Laylatul Qadr start? What was behind the night of power? Let me explain. The Laylatul Qadr that Muslims celebrate in Ramadan, either on the 19th, 21st, 23rd, or the 27th, actually belongs to the Prophet Muhammad. What we celebrate according to the Islamic tradition, in Laylatul Qadr, that is the Laylatul Qadr of the Prophet Muhammad. Something extremely consequential happened to him in the night of power. What happened to him at that night? From the biographies of the Prophet, or Siratul Nabi, we know that for years prior to receiving the first revelation, Muhammad would go to a cave called Hira in the outskirts of Mecca. He used to fast. He used to meditate and contemplate for days at a time. Solitude in the cave of Hira became close and very near and dear to his heart. It became more and more beloved to him over time. So he would do more and more as he grew older, before ripe age of 40. Rumi has an interesting take on this. And what he has to say is absolutely fascinating. And I hope you appreciate what Rumi has to offer as much as I do. Rumi says that all the austerities, or riyazat, all the austerities, meditation, and contemplation resulted in a life-changing outcome for Muhammad. All that austerity and contemplation and meditation sharpened Muhammad's inner senses. They sharpened his inner senses. You see, Rumi tells us that our senses are not limited to the famous five: the sense of sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. No, we have more senses. The problem is we are not aware of those extra senses that we have. We do not develop those other senses. Rumi says, پنج حسیس جز این پنج حس آنچو زر سرخ و این حسها چو مس. Beside these five physical senses, there are five spiritual senses. Those spiritual senses are like red gold, while these physical senses are like copper. So he likens our physical senses to copper, and those inner senses, those spiritual senses, to gold. Which one is more valuable, copper or gold? Physical or spiritual senses? Now, in the process of austerities and meditation in the cave of Hira over the years, Muhammad discovered his spiritual senses. He worked on them. He developed them, which Rumi calls the prophetic senses, Hawasa Anbiya. Rumi calls those senses that the Prophet Muhammad discovered and worked on and developed, he calls them prophetic senses, or Hawasa Anbiya. Now, equipped with those senses, Prophet Muhammad could now see things that other people could not see. With those newfound senses, he could hear things other people could not hear. He could grasp things that other people could not grasp. To use a Quranic term, Prophet Muhammad now could venture into another dimension of this world. Alamul Qayb. Now Muhammad could venture into Alamul Qayb with his newfound senses. Alamul Qayb in English is usually translated as the hidden world. With his new acquired senses, or his new developed senses, he could now venture into the hidden world. Now Alamul Qayb is not outside this world we live in. Because a lot of people are under the false impression that when the Quran talks of Alamul Qayb, it's talking about another planet outside the solar system No, or another galaxy far, far away from the Earth. That's not what Alam al-Ghayb means. Alam al-Ghayb is not outside this world. Rather, it is outside our five senses. Alam al-Ghayb, the hidden world, is hidden from our physical senses. With those spiritual senses, anyone could simultaneously live in the physical world as well as the hidden world. At the same time, simultaneously can experience both worlds, or experience and travel back and forth between these two dimensions of the universe. Now, in that fateful night, Laylatul Qadr, a number of life-changing things happened to Muhammad. First, an extraordinary power appeared to Muhammad. That immense power overtook him, engulfed him, like a magnet that snaps iron filings. That's what happened to Muhammad. He was gravitated towards that immense force. He saw the world in a completely different way. All of a sudden, he realized that this world is like an onion with many, many layers. We are in contact with only the outmost layer of this onion or this world. However, there are other layers that are hidden from our five senses. Or if I were to say it in Farsi, در شب قدر رسول اکرم دریافت که این عالم ظاهری دارد و باطنی. او دریافت که این عالمی که ما درش زندگی میکنیم هم یک ظاهری دارد و یک باطنی. This world has an external appearance which our five senses can appreciate. And there is also an inner reality beyond the surface, beyond the appearance, that is masked and hidden. Rumi uses an analogy to explain this duality. You are all have gone to the beach and Agha Farid is now at the beach. During high tides, we only see some whitish foam coming onto the shore. But underneath the foam, there is water. کف دریاست صورت‌های عالم. That's what Rumi teaches. کف دریاست صورت‌های عالم. ز کف بگذر اگر اهل صفایی. There is water underneath this foam that meets the eye. The second thing that happened to the Prophet Muhammad in Laylatul Qadr was that he saw vividly that the entire universe submits to God. You see, incorrectly, we think that only human beings are submitters, are Muslims. That's not true. At Laylatul Qadr, for the very first time, Muhammad realized that the entire universe submits to God. Everything reveres God. All creation, animate and inanimate, sings the praise of the Lord. Everything in the universe celebrates God's glory. Birds, flowers, fish, rocks, everything praises the Lord. This unique and powerful vision of Muhammad, by the way, I did not make it up. Rumi and other mystics, they did not make it up. That unique and powerful vision of Muhammad at Laylatul Qadr is actually reflected in the Holy Quran. Let me give you the address. This verse is such an important verse. Write it down and ponder that in Ramadan. Chapter 17, verse 44. That's what I've been saying for the past few minutes of what happened to Muhammad at that night. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْءُ وَالْعَرْضُ وَمِنْ فِيهِنْ. The seven heavens and the earth and everyone in them glorify God. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is not a single thing that does not celebrate His praise. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. However, you humans do not understand their praise. Notice the verse did not leave anything out. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is not a single thing in the universe that does not celebrate God's praise and glory. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. However, you humans do not hear or understand their praise of the Lord. However, Muhammad, at that consequential and monumental night, Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, he heard this cosmic chorus that praises the Lord. And at that moment, he joined the chorus. He harmonized with this cosmic melody and started praising the Lord in earnest. That was his salat. That was Muhammad's salat in that fateful night. ببینید در شب قدر، در اون لحظه که چشم محمد به ساحت دیگری در این عالم گشوده شد، در اون لحظه او به رکوع رفت، او به سجود رفت مثل همه اجزای دیگر این عالم. محمد discovered that in the universe there is something called worship. Let me repeat, this is so important. Muhammad at that night discovered that in this universe there is something called worship or ibadat. There is something called praise or tasbih. He discovered it. Now, I don't want to dishearten you brothers and sisters, but my daily salat, Hamid Intizam's daily salat, is really a caricature of salat. When Muhammad saw that the entire universe is bowing to God, everything in the universe is prostrating to God, he did the same. And that's where the notion of salat comes from. True salat is when we truly understand that we are part of this vast cosmos. And now in unison, in harmony with the rest of the world, we bow to the Lord. We prostrate and submit to the Lord. At that night, an immense power appeared to the Prophet Muhammad and engulfed him, enveloped him. His night of spiritual darkness was removed by God's light. And then a wonderful peace and serenity and a sense of security arose in his soul, which lasted, by the way, through the rest of his living days. That fateful encounter transformed Muhammad. That experience stayed with him throughout his life. What's more, he formed a strong bond. He formed a loving relationship with that force that appeared to him. That force we call God. And that bond, that relationship that Muhammad formed with God, or that magnificent force in this universe, is called Iman or faith. So in a nutshell, this was Muhammad's Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is the night when Muhammad the shepherd became Muhammad the prophet. It was the night when Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, was turned into Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. It was the night when Muhammad, the husband of Khadija, became Muhammad Mustafa, or the chosen one. Now, perhaps we can understand why the Holy Quran insists that Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. that night of power is better than 1,000 months. That night of power is better and more consequential than a whole lifetime. Muhammad was on a long journey, and at that fateful night, his efforts bore fruit. He reached the destination. He was transformed, and after that, the first verses of Revelation started pouring down from on high unto him. So now, the question that I would like to address is this. Is Laylatul Qadr unique to the Prophet Muhammad? Or can we also have a Laylatul Qadr uniquely of our own as well? Very important question. You see, the typical Muslim is brought up to believe that messengers of God are in a class by themselves. They are chosen by God to deliver a message. If you check the dictionary, which I did, by the way, I checked with the Merriam-Webster dictionary and I looked up the word chosen. You know what chosen means? It means selected or marked for favor or special privilege. Now, we are all brought up to think that somehow the prophets and messengers of God are in a class by themselves. They are marked for a favor. Mystics, even though they do believe that, for example, Muhammad was a messenger of God, they have a different take of this whole notion of prophethood is all about. You see, Muhammad was a human, according to the Quran. Muhammad was a human. He was created of the same fabric as the rest of us. When a man jumps over a hurdle, it means that in principle, other humans can also jump over that hurdle. In principle, potentially, every human being is capable of doing the same thing. So in that fateful night, what happened to Muhammad when he cleared that hurdle of venturing into the unseen? In principle, that path is available to all human beings. Muhammad was an explorer. He was a pioneer. Or in Quranic language, he was Uswatun Hasanah, a role model. He was a trailblazer. He opened a path so others could also trek on that path. We can also follow his footsteps. The vast majority of Muslims choose to be observers. They choose to sit on the sidelines and cheer the likes of Muhammad. And at best, they would only follow the do's and don'ts of Muhammad's religion, which is Islam. Only the do's and don'ts. Pray 5 times a day, or fast during Ramadan, or pay zakat, things like that. So most of us restrict our following of Muhammad to these do's and don'ts. However, a tiny minority go beyond that. They choose to be players in the spiritual field, not just observers. Mystics like Rumi are part of that tiny minority in the Islamic world. They follow Muhammad's footsteps. From Muhammad, they learn that we also have inner senses. From Muhammad, they learned that we can train our other inner senses. We can prepare our soul and heart. And at that point, when that happens, we can also venture into Alamul Ghaib, or the hidden dimension of this world. I'm sure almost all of you are familiar or heard of Rumi's masterpiece, Masnavi. it's very rare that I would have a presentation, a lecture, or a sermon that I would not recite verses from Mathnavi. You see, Mathnavi is the product of Rumi's exploration into Alam al-Ghaib. It is the product of his exploration into the hidden dimension of this universe. Rumi is not shy at all to say that his Mathnavi is an inspired text. It's a revealed text. He says, if according to the Quran, bees are guided by God's revelation, are we human beings any less than bees? We can also receive revelation as well, if we prepare our heart and soul, if we prepare our inner senses. So, if we extend this line of reasoning, every single one of us can have a true Laylatul Qadr of our own. Our mystics, such as Rumi, Hafiz, Ibn Arabi, they all claim that they too had their unique Laylatul Qadr. Hafiz is very clear on that. There is a very beautiful qasal or poem in his collection of poetry where he clearly tells us about his unique Laylatul Qadr, his unique night of power. I will be remiss if I don't recite these beautiful verses from Hafiz poetry to you in Farsi, in the original language. Unfortunately, I won't have time to translate or make commentaries of all of these verses, but it's just absolutely beautiful. Hafiz tells us about his unique Laylatul Qadr, his unique experiences in the night of power. دوش وقت سحر از قصه نجاتم دادند و اندر آن ظلمت شب آب حیاتم دادند. بی خود از شعشعه پرتو ذاتم کردند، باده از جام تجلی صفاتم دادند. چه مبارک سحری بود و چه فرخنده شبی آن شب قدر که این تازه براتم دادند. بعد از این روی من و آینه وصف جمال که در آنجا خبر از جلوه ذاتم دادند. من اگر کام روا گشتم و خوشدل چه عجب، مستحق بودم و اینها به زکاتم دادند. هاتفان روز به من مژده این دولت داد که بدان جور و جفا صبر و ثباتم دادن. این همه شهد و شکر که از سخنم میریزد، اجر صبریز که از آن شاخ نباتم دادند. همت حافظ و انفاس سحرخیزان بود که ز بند غم ایام نجاتم دادند. This ghazal, this poem is not only aesthetically beautiful, it is rich in meaning. I dedicated one full lecture in one of my Laylatul Qadr presentation years ago to this very poem of Hafiz. In this poem, he has encapsulated what Ramadan means to a mystic, what Ramadan means to a mystic, or mystical Ramadan. I'm not going to get into translating or making commentaries of all of these verses because we're running out of time, but I would like to quickly translate the verse that clearly and directly relates to my talk today. And that verse is this. Hafiz says of his own unique Laylatul Qadr, چه مبارک سحری بود و چه فرخنده شبی آن شب قدر که این تازه براتم دادن. Oh, what exalted sunrise, what glorious night, that night of power when the new life I was awarded. At that night, Hafez was awarded a new life. After a long journey, Hafez was also transformed. He was given a new life. He was born again. You see, almost all of our mystics, Hafez, Rumi, they all very clearly say that at some point in their lives, they were born again Muslims. And that's what Hafez is sharing with us. Our mystics tell us that Laylatul Qadr is not restricted to 19th, 21st, 23rd, or 27th of Ramadan. And this is very interesting and insightful. Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, can arrive any night, and for that matter, any day. It doesn't have to happen on a night. You see, Laylatul Qadr is not a calendar event like Ramadan, Nowruz, or Christmas. You see, these events are all calendar events, which means they are independent of us. Whether I'm alive or dead, days and months will pass, and Nowruz and Christmas and Ramadan will come. But Laylatul Qadr is entirely dependent on us. Night of Power is an internal event, not an external event. Search for Laylatul Qadr inside your own self. So, the Laylatul Qadr that we celebrate during Ramadan on the 21st, 23rd, and so on and so forth is Prophet Muhammad's Laylatul Qadr. Not necessarily the Laylatul Qadr of the rest of us, inshallah, we would experience sometime during our lifetime. So after a period of austerities or riyazat, after a period of contemplation, self-cleansing, and heart cleansing, if you feel that you are transformed, if you feel that you look at the world in a completely different way, in a completely different and fundamentally different light, if you feel that your character and your value system has changed, well, that transformation is your Laylatul Qadr. That transformation, that life-changing transformation is your night of power, which is worth more than 1,000 months, better and higher in rank than a lifetime. But because of what we go through during Ramadan, which is a form of austerity or riyazat, there is a greater chance that we will have our own Laylatul Qadr also in Ramadan. We certainly should hope and expect that we will have that sort of transformation in one of our Ramadans, inshallah. So, I invite you, my good brothers and sisters, to keep the hope alive. When you enter Ramadan, make sure you know what you are after. In Ramadan, you should be after a transformation. Not just depriving your stomach from food and water during the day. So this year, inshallah, celebrate Laylatul Qadr on the 19th, 21st, 23rd, or 27th of Ramadan. With the presence of heart and mind, observe the practices that are prescribed in our Islamic tradition for Laylatul Qadr. And inshallah, with God's grace, you may experience that transformation in one of these nights. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.